Hello, everyone. It's Wednesday, May 17th, 2023, and this is a meeting of the Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon. And in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. So we're going to rise for the flag salute, but before we do that, I just wanted to let you know that May is Law Enforcement Appreciation Month, so I do want to thank the members of our police department for keeping us safe. Okay, so please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And the moment of silence is for the first responders, the frontline workers, and members of our military. Okay, thank you. Roll call.
Present.
Here.
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 First order of business are the presentation of the minutes of the regular and executive session of April 19th, 2023. Any discussion or a motion to approve if there's no discussion?
You doing them both together?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting and executive session minutes of April 19th, 2023.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next up is public comments limited to agenda items only.
I'll make a motion to open public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Wow. Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
I'll make that motion to close public comment.
Second.
Okay. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next we have Resolution 62-2023, which is a resolution authorizing estimated 2023 tax bills for the August due date. And basically, the tax collector is recommending that we do this because they're going to be having some software conversion at the county level that could seriously impact what we're doing with the bills, and we need to be able to pay the bills. So the CFO has approved that as well. Any discussion?
I think we could just point out the estimated rate is set at 102% of the 2022 tax levy rate, which is our best estimate of what next year's total tax would be.
Right. Yeah, they said it was close. So, any other discussion? Can I get a motion to approve Resolution 62-2023?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 62-2023.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is unfinished business, and we have an update from Committee in Wonder on Red Mill Race Preserve Project, and it's basically an update and an authorize a visit by the township engineer.
Yes, the update is I'd like to have the committee authorize a visit by the township engineer to look over the site and check on the grade and safety issues. Mm-hmm. It's steeper than I think most had expected it to be, and there may be a need for a second fence where the end of the parking lot ends up being.
So that's I'm just confused a little bit what the question for the engineer is going to be.
Well, there's a lot of things. We didn't have very many details when we started. We got off to the wrong start here. The area originally when I went out there, because I found out late about this and met with Warren, and nothing was staked out at the time. There's tree issues. It's steep coming off of the road. Wetlands issue was not checked on from what Warren and I know of. Stuff like that. You're filling in down a hill.
Yep.
So the further you're filling in, the higher this parking lot is going to end up with another slope, which they usually don't want past a 3-to-1 slope. So there may need to be a simple fence there, and of course, then you have the wall area where we're worried about the drop-off.
And I think this whole project is kind of spiraling out of control.
Well, you know,
there was a. Let me just finish, and then you can talk. It started more than a year ago, so before you were on the committee. In all fairness, the EOSC wanted to. Well, I mean, you can go back 4 or 5 years ago when the property was acquired. There was a house there. There were two areas where people, the residents at that time, parked their vehicles. So before COVID, the house was demolished. It was coming off its foundation. A mill that was already starting to fall into itself was demolished. The EOSC had done some cleaning up and trail maintenance. Then with COVID, everything shut down. And the original thought was, can we just turn the existing parking places where the residents parked, refurbish that, get some new stone on it, get that straightened out. I asked the DPW supervisor, who's in charge of driveway permits, said, yes, there's existing driveway access, so no permits required for that. Asked the zoning officer what's required to restone existing paved parking areas. He said if they're existing, no requirements for that. I'm all for checking into things, but then it became, let's have an Eagle Scout. An Eagle Scout was interested in doing something, so it was the thought was to put a couple of indication fences. So they're not meant to be guardrails. They're not meant to stop rolling cars or anything. They're just going to put some two split rail fences. I can give you an update. A couple meetings ago when this was discussed, the EOSC was applying for a $1,500 grant toward that. Turns out the grant applications were way oversubscribed, and we've been already informed that we're not getting that $1,500 grant, so the grant's not a discussion point at all. There was an email by the EOSC people that I know, Brian, you were copied on because you'd weighed in and said you'd like to be involved in that. Scheduling a meeting, Warren said he would be there at 8 a.m. on a couple weeks ago. Turns out it wasn't well coordinated. I showed up. I was ready to leave if there was a quorum. Warren showed up. The two of us were there. We put some stakes in the ground. There was a follow-up email to say, why don't we get all of us together to see if this is a big project, a little project, so we're at least all talking about the same project. I understand you had a meeting with the Scoutmaster that no one else was invited to. I don't know what other meetings are going on. But, I mean, my view is this should be a matter of putting down some stone on existing parking areas. Yes, identifying if there's some areas where we want to make sure cars don't get close to. If this is going to turn into, you know, wetland delineations and all kinds of a big production, if the goal is to stop putting a parking area on this property, I'd say we don't spend the money on the engineer. We just stop it. I know you've been opposed to open space since.
Well, that's true, but now you're getting off topic. You see, you had years to address this, and apparently it wasn't done.
Yeah.
Warren, our DPW supervisor, his time is valuable on working on roads.
No,
yet now, from what I understand, even more years went by where he's been back and forth over there with his time. This probably should have been a public job. We probably should have had someone bid on it maybe to do it, but using our township entire road department to get involved in this. No due diligence was done. There was no site plan, no benchmark set. There were no stakes for years out there. So, you know, and there's a safety issue.
If the committee's not in favor of doing it, let's try to do it correctly
and at least have the engineer review it now. Because everything went out of sequence.
I'm asking, review what?
Is there a survey?
Review the site. The grade, the safety issue. Yeah. Right? Isn't that what you'd use the engineer for? Yeah.
It's a 10-acre site.
Well, the parking area where the cars are going to be, Mike.
Yeah. So where, what part of the parking area? Where the existing stakes are?
Where you guys staked it out in that general area.
Okay, so I just, since we're going so many different directions,
well, not really.
We're all talking about the same area or not.
It's the same area, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not only that, but, you know, you saw the numbers from the DPW, the manpower and hours for that.
Yeah.
You know, we need a better policy. I mean, you know, you hear Grant, everybody's, you know, oh, great, free money or whatever, but, you know, should this have been DPW responsibility? Maybe it should have been a private sector thing that we should have reached out a little further.
Well, that's why it's come to the committee before anything was done.
Well, needs to go in front of the engineer now, I believe, and go from there. Let's see what his review comes up with. I want to do it right if we're going to do it.
Tom asked if there's a site plan.
I don't have any of that.
You asked if there was a site plan?
I asked if there was a survey.
A survey.
So that everyone's talking about.
Well, I don't think there's maybe a survey, but I'm not sure if there's any topo.
For when the property was purchased, there's a survey. Yeah. I don't know if it's accurate enough for this or not. But
well, then the engineer can look at that.
And the parking's moving away from the
it's going down a slope. You know.
Down the slope.
You have the road is pitched where when it rains hard, water's going to be coming off of that road. You know, all that has to be addressed and looked at. Do you want that water turned down, come down in the parking lot, wash it out every time? You know, who's going to maintain it then?
When I met out there with Warren, none of these issues were raised. I guess before I would approve an unlimited budget to have the engineer develop a site plan.
Well, nobody said anything about unlimited budget or actually doing a site plan. I'm saying that's something that could have been done a long time ago if this was in the plans.
So
you mentioned years ago that it's been in the plan.
What's your proposal for the engineer? Do you have a dollar limit on what you propose?
No, just to do a review right now, and let him come back with a basic review. Does it meet certain criteria for us to move forward or not?
And what is that going to cost?
I don't know, Mike.
So you're putting an unlimited proposal together.
Well, you want to call it unlimited, you can.
What I'm trying to do, if I can finish my sentences, I'm trying to propose a limit on it. With an outside engineer, you could go and ask them, could you give us a quote for give us a proposal to do the work, and then we know if it's a big job or a little job.
It's going to take longer than if you want to do it that way. I'll talk to them.
That's what I would propose
kick the can down the road further then.
Or shut it down right now if you want to.
I'm not here to decide that. I'm here just to simply get a review to see if it can be done correctly.
Let's get a proposal for a review.
You want to get a proposal? We'll get a proposal.
What I'm concerned is, for example, at the corner of Bunvale and 513, we wound up spending like $11,000.
This can be very simple.
I assume so, but I don't know. Okay. There is a river next to it.
You need to set a benchmark up and take a couple shots with a laser, is basically where it's going, and to see if it's in the wetlands or not. I mean, if it's in the wetlands, first of all, that's going to be a problem right there. You know, but I was told by Warren that you want him to start dumping dirt in there already or something to get the project started. Is that true?
That's not true. I suggested trees could come down, but I didn't say start dumping soil. I know this is a project before the committee.
Well, that's not what I've been told. But
see that
once again, it went out of order. It went out of order because it should have came to this committee directly. No one should have went to Warren in the road department to get this ball rolling. We manage the DPW's time and projects and what they're going to do. It's not Warren's just not out there where anyone can come and use up his time. I mean, how many trips are we all going to make out there? This could have been a simple. We decide on a meeting date, post it. We could all met out there together, had a picnic, and looked at it.
There we go.
But it didn't happen. Right?
There we go.
It didn't happen. Warren's been out there several times. You've been out there. Sir Sharon's been out there. Now I've been out there. Exactly. The Boy Scouts have been out there.
Exactly. And none of it's been coordinated. That's my biggest concern. Why didn't we have one meeting?
I don't know. Why was I not getting copied on emails?
You were copied on it.
At the last minute. It was already.
It was set up at the last minute.
Well, maybe it shouldn't have been set up at the last minute then.
So are we going to have the engineer go take a look at this?
That's my motion, to have the engineer take a look at it.
And he's going to come back with a quote on what the expense would be or what he thinks should be done?
Yeah.
To make that a parking area for three cars.
Well, is that the number we are at, three cars? I've been hearing different numbers, so I don't know. Number three, five. Whatever it may be, but you know, let's work with what area and grade is to see what we'll accept.
What's been staked out is three below and two above.
So
five cars.
five cars total, but in two separate spots.
ADA doesn't apply to this, does it?
Not that I've ever been told.
Now the engineer can figure that out.
The engineer can figure that out, yeah.
I don't know. Good.
The wideness of the...
He's been fair in the past, looking on things and doing a proposal, so if it makes sense to have some delineation of what we have and what we're looking at with a reasonable amount, for hiring the engineer.
Make sure we're allowed to even do it and go from there. Yeah. I'm not saying we're going to hire him right now to do the design or anything. Well, let's just get him to come to the site.
If it's feasible to do the job.
And review it.
And review it.
Right. That's all. That's my motion.
Did you make...
I'll make the motion to have the engineer do a site visit on the Red Mill Race Preserve to look into the feasibility of a parking area, which would be from 3 to 5 cars, and if it's in the wetlands. Mm-hmm.
And if there are any safety issues?
He'll bring that all to our attention.
Yeah. You going to second it?
I did second.
You second? All right.
Second again.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next up is new business, and once again, it's liaison into buildings and grounds, Brian Wunder, identifying trees for removal.
Yeah, we're looking to, because there is money in the budget for Warren and I to come up with a plan to see what trees most likely should come down, or a first round of some trees, so we can get some prices on those removals. Putting on my OEM hat, thoughts were, starting from this location out, because this is where the emergency equipment has to roll out of, maybe Red Mill Hill Road, maybe up Hopkins Crossing area, try to branch out through the town, to check trees that are leaning, that type of stuff, that are dead, or, you know, the more obvious ones, at least, to get started with.
So is this to work within the budget numbers that we had set aside this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Get a motion.
We're going to start slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You going to make that motion?
I'll make that motion for the committee to approve DPW manager, myself, to look at identifying some trees for future removal, so we can get a quote on those.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next up is under new business is a discussion surrounding possibly amending the Environmental Commission ordinance. There apparently is a student that has expressed interest in being on the Environmental Commission, and the Environmental Commission recommended this person for a possible appointment. I'm not going to mention names, but we did have a discussion on this. I talked to the attorney with it, and he said when we have somebody who's under the age of, I guess, 18?
Well, yeah, just so, you know, Bev brought it to my attention, so I did some legal research to see if there's an age requirement, right? So if you look at the statute for environmental commissions, well, delegate, you know, designates the number of members and all that stuff. That's all it says, right? It says numbers, and there's no language relative to any other requirements. Same thing with land use board and zoning board. So I said, okay, it's interesting. So I started doing some research, and checking all different statutes, and I even reached out to ANJAC to see if they knew about it. And their initial response to me was, well, you know, there are municipalities who have, for high school students, that they'll have in positions that they create as part of the ordinance allow them to be non-voting members, right? So my thought was, well, I couldn't find anything directly on point. New Jersey changed its age majority a few years back from 21 to 18. So my thought was, if, you know, obviously Environmental Commission establishes policy for certain aspects, to me it would seem logical that if there's going to be board members who are establishing policy, that they should at least be of the age of be able to vote, right, as a registered voter, which would be 18. There's nothing on point that I could find. I haven't heard back from Ann Jack. I think Elizabeth Ritter is her name. She's the person I was emailing. She had gone on vacation and had somebody else check. But my only point would be is you have an individual who's on the board that's establishing policy. but they're not able to vote yet. That you would think that if you want someone who's of that age of majority to vote, to at least be a person who's able, you know, who's going to establish policy. That's my thought. It would make more sense from that perspective. But like I said, there's nothing on point on this particular issue. You know, you just try to go back to, you know, individuals who are relative having to file like financial disclosures, right? Certain board members have to file financial disclosures. Mm-hmm. I know there was actually one reported decision that it indicated that members of the Environmental Commission specifically were not officials, but they were found them to be, they're determined, I think it's municipal employees, who are not required to file financial disclosures. It's kind of unique. But then if they're considered municipal employees, the age of majority, there was one case on the age of majority actually had to do with police. If you remember, police used to have to be 21 in order to be hired. And there's a provision in the Title 40 relative to hiring police that established age of 21. That was challenged because they changed the law of age of majority back to 18. Court ruled, well, you know, this rule applies, so age of majority is 18. So, I think it's a policy call. My recommendation is that if you're going to have someone who's under the age of 18 who's not able to vote, what you may want to do is consider having that, and other towns have done this, have those types of individuals as, I guess, auxiliary members, so to speak. They can participate, but they don't have the ability to vote. I think the concern would be is that when you have voting members, again, because they're establishing policy, I think a logical, practical point would be that particular individual, if they're establishing policy, should at least be able to vote because, you know, that's why you vote and elect people in, because you're establishing policy.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
These meetings are open to the public, aren't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So why couldn't the person just attend the meetings and not have to go through the policy change?
I think that's the question. I think the question is having a student as a member of the Environmental Commission, just like a planning board or a zoning board.
Yeah, this was just one way to handle it, because the questions I have are how will this affect, like, say, for example, if we did this for the Environmental Commission, could it happen for the Planning Board? I'm worried more about the boards where you do, like you mentioned, the financial disclosure statements and things like that. I mean, I'm assuming if you do it for one board, you could do it for others. But it's good to have a bench team in the meantime. Like if you
yeah, want look, I, same thing. I did conducted similar research. Right there's just nothing on point.
Yeah,
I mean, I.
Insurance? Anything with insurance?
Well, the only thing I would liken it to, but it's not exact, but, you know, that's why you get paid. Minors are not allowed to sit on boards of non-for-profits, corporations, right? So New Jersey has a statute that deals with that. You know, that was the only, you know, crossover where you're looking at boards and who can sit on boards, right? Mm-hmm. But I just go back to when you want to run for office, for instance, you have to be 18, right, in New Jersey for municipal office. You have to be resident, you have to be 18, you have to be resident at least a year in order to run. School board, I think, is the same thing, 18. So when you look at offices you have to run for, that's the age that you have to be, live in the town. And there are some boards where they clearly establish an age. I think for instance, the DP have certain boards where they expressly state it in their rules and regs what the age is. But, you know, this was the Environmental Commission. That statute was adopted a few years back. It used to be had a different name where they weren't Environmental Commission. They were Conservation Commissions back. And then I think in the 80s they changed it to Environmental Commission. But there's not a lot of case law out on this type of issue. It's one of those nuggets. That,
so it's,
you know,
really going to be a policy call on our part.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I can wait to hear back from Ann Jack. Like I said, the woman was away to the extent to see if she comes back with any information on that particular issue. But, you know, from what I found, there's really nothing that I uncovered.
Any other discussion?
Well, interesting.
I just wanted to offer, I guess this wasn't forwarded to the committee, but I found it interesting. The residents might find it interesting. The Hunterdon County Environmental Sustainability and Engineering Academy is actually housed at Voorhees High School. So the individual we're talking about has been participating very regularly in the USC meetings, working on projects, is a real asset. And several colleagues of the person come to the meetings as well. And so I think the question came up, I think, you know, for the person's resume, whatever else, would be nice to have her on the committee, or, you know, a named. Yeah. We have an alternate. There's an alternate opening. Not knowing if there was a policy, the USC forwarded that for consideration. I agree, it's a policy consideration, and it brings up a question. If it's not addressed, we should think about it. And I don't disagree with anything that's been stated here about all the reasons that someone should be 18.
Right.
I guess the related question, which is what I thought the title turned into, but maybe you were about to address it, was whether we could have an official student liaison to the EOSC, since we do have this academy in our...
Yeah, now towns have done that, right? Like one towns I used to represent, they had a, you know, they had actually two high school students who were liaison. They would participate. They couldn't vote, but they had it. And even the individual man, Jack, indicated that. And, you know, if I went, looked at various towns, that's not uncommon to have liaison positions. As a matter of fact, for school boards, it's a requirement.
Right.
You have to have at least, and they rotate it, right?
Not voting.
Correct, right. But they participate. They usually give a report, and I sat on both school board. So that's part of, you know, school board law.
Yeah.
Nothing similar here, but I think other towns have had liaisons for high school students. You know, and like you said, I mean, it's a way to, number one, for civics, give people, so students, because that's not really taught in schools, unfortunately. But, you know, see how boards, the process is, and to see if there's a way to get people interested. I mean, I think that's a positive thing, right? Because then they, I mean, it's a little bit different when you come and watch a meeting, but it feels if you're part, you participate it, you know, and, you know, they because especially if Voorhees High School has that type of program, there's stuff that they can share with the full board and bring to its attention. I think that's a positive, and it's a positive way to keep especially high school kids engaged in the process. I mean, civics is important.
So that would be via amending the ordinance.
You'd have to amend the ordinance and just to allow for an advisory position. I mean, to do it, which is because again the statute says what it says, the state statute on the number of members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where because I think it's a non-voting member, towns have gone in that direction. But still, it's an interesting issue with the age requirements because it's again. I mean, I look all these different avenues to try to come up with a solution. So I can't. It's one of those things like this has never come up before. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it hasn't. But.
Now it doesn't affect the makeup of the board and the classes and all that. It's kind of it's like a satellite off.
No. You would just. I think what most towns have done is just amended it to say, in you know, they're you know an auxiliary position to be appointed, and you just have. They usually it'll sit for a year because especially if they're in high school, you know, if they're high school.
So if you have, in other words, if you have a nine-member board with one alternate two opening, that opening still exists. This
correct.
Would be an auxiliary
wouldn't,
outside of...
Right. It wouldn't be the alternate. Because alternates get the vote. If you need
if
a member.
Somebody, if two
correct.
People are out, especially with
right,
the alternate
right.
two.
Yeah,
but I don't know. So any other discussion on it?
If the ordinance is amended and this eventually just fizzles away and it's not a reoccurring thing, we have to amend the ordinance back to where we were? Or just leave that hang there?
Well, I mean, again, you can leave it out there, or you can always rescind an ordinance, right, once it's adopted. Nothing precludes you from rescinding it if it doesn't work out.
And would that position, if created, give that person the opportunity to or be automatically...
No. It's like anything else. You still have to... The appointments are mayoral appointments.
And we would put it for a year. That would be like a year...
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine. That's why I think I've seen it for a year.
Or like the end of this year, if they get appointed now, they would, by the time the ordinance, if we updated it, amended it,
right, December, during, right, it'll be
yeah,
year to year.
And then they would have to be renewed.
If it's intended for a student, could we make it on the school year?
I don't know why you couldn't, since it's not a part of the statute, you know, where you can do it from right. To run September to June type thing, because you know I don't know if the students that motivated would they come over the summer. It'd be awesome if they would
and that's right. What I'm almost just thinking out loud, what if we made it whatever the start of the school year is, September 1st, you know, August 30th,
you know, September, yeah, summer, you know, let me look, right, let me look to see if I would other towns who have it that way, if I can, you know, find anything specific. What I do recall, most of them were 1 year, but you know, this is something that's not part of the statute anyway.
I just wouldn't put it on January year because...
Yeah, I know. Half the year, right.
So then back to my only other question, it involves the other boards. Is this, this could be a policy depending on whatever board, you, like if the historic...
I don't know that.
Do that or...
I haven't seen, I ha, for planning boards and zoning boards, I have not seen that. Mm-hmm. And they do file financial disclosures,
yeah.
Right? So it's a little bit different. I have never seen, and especially zoning boards, mm-hmm. zoning boards are quasi-judicial,
right.
You know, bodies, right? So, you know, they sit in a different capacity, and especially planning boards as well. I mean, that's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I didn't see anything. Now, I was focusing on Environmental Commission versus Planning and Zoning Board, but some cross-checking. But I've never seen it for those two boards. So that would be a little bit different.
Maybe a little more research yet.
If the Environmental Open Space would, I believe they have a public comment at your meetings. If they would have an open mic, couldn't this individual come to an open mic and have a subcommittee present itself at the Environmental Open Space for this individual that has something that of interest, and they could have periodically an open mic where the individual just comes and brings whatever information she wants if they've changed their format a little bit?
That's the way it's operated for the past. This person's been very active for over a year, and that's the way it's been operating. It's
just what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it.
Okay.
It's just a matter of providing additional recognition and motivation to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now that we realize there's an academy, it could foster annual replacement of the person and try to develop a deeper relationship with Voorhees High School. It's just a policy improvement, I'll say. It's not necessary to have the person involved.
So it's been an open mic now?
Yeah, I mean, the person participates in activities with members of the EOSC, and there's interfacing back and forth to activities of the academy. You know, they have trade fair type days and things like that. It's been working very well. It's just a matter of the EOSC is interested in recognizing the person more officially, and that's why it came forward as a
and this
request
is the,
for consideration is all it
is this the only person? Because I know that there was a group, I think, that were contributing.
Well, that must be the academy.
The other members of the academy
have
and the
come.
Members of the Future Farmers of America that are in that academy that have been working with the USC, but I think the idea would be to make one person the named liaison as an interface to the academy.
That's what I would, if you're going to do it, that's what I would do.
Yeah, it wasn't to have more than one.
Well, if it's working well, maybe we should leave it alone.
Well, we can table it. We don't have to. It's going to be my appointment to make in the end anyway. So it's... Unless that
maybe
doesn't count as a mayoral appointment, I don't know. Well, you never thought about that. That might not
no,
be
I
a
think,
mayoral.
Well, again, I'm just looking at it the way it would make sense it would be a mayoral appointment because all the other appointments mayoral part of the statute. And I think, just from my recall, the other towns that have it, I think it was a mayoral part of the mayoral appointments as well.
Robbinsville?
Yeah, I think that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other towns.
Yeah. Well, maybe we think about it and talk about it at the next meeting.
Sounds good.
June 7th. Do a little more thinking and homework. Okay. Next up is the energy tax receipt. The New Jersey League of Municipalities is asking all the mayors to sign to bring the energy tax receipts, which are basically about half of our budget, right, Mike?
It's
close enough.
35 or so percent.
Yeah, it's up there.
The last 5 years, it's gone from half down.
Ten down to 35%.
Because it's been flat, it doesn't increase.
Right, but we used to have control of it, and then the state took it over, and they've been plugging holes with that money, and we really need to get that money back and in our pockets. We're getting, it looks like we're getting grants here and there, but it's onesies and twosies, nothing consistent. So I don't know if you want to say anything more about it. But the state has been diverting the funding to plug their holes, is what I'm reading here. I can read this letter out.
Dear Honorable Members of the Senate and General Assembly, as fellow New Jersey elected officials, we strongly urge the full restoration of the energy tax receipts, property tax relief fund to municipalities, and encourage you to incorporate this essential municipal funding into the 2024 fiscal year New Jersey state budget. This funding is necessary as a necessary first step in addressing property tax affordability in the state. We appreciate that the 2023 fiscal year New Jersey state budget included a $75 million allocation in new funds identified as the Municipal Relief Fund. This was a positive first step in the right direction after years of neglecting the restoration of crucial funding. But a one-time allocation does not address the ever-growing financial gap. The allocation of over $350 million into the 2024 fiscal year New Jersey state budget would restore funding, which has been annually diverted from dedicated municipal funding programs like the energy tax receipts, property tax relief fund, and the consolidated municipal property tax relief aid. For years, though, this is the key point, state officials from both sides of the aisle have diverted funding from energy taxes to plug holes in the state budget and to fund state programs. The restoration of this funding to New Jersey's municipalities is long overdue. Allocating this vital funding would eventually bring funding for all municipalities back to 2008 levels. Taxes on gas and electric bills were originally collected by the host municipalities, and when the state made itself the collection agent for these taxes, it promised to return the proceeds to municipalities for property tax relief. Just as municipalities collect property taxes for the benefit of school districts, counties, and other entities, the state is supposed to collect energy taxes for the benefit of municipal governments. Local officials are clearly committed to limiting their reliance on increased property taxes while bearing the responsibility to provide for local needs, including critical public safety and health needs of the community. The overall trend has been a slowdown in the growth of the average property tax bill since the 2% property tax levy cap. In 2022, the average local property tax bill increased by 1.9%. We thank you for your consideration and for hearing our concerns and urge you to immediate action as part of the 2024 fiscal New Year New Jersey state budget process. So I wanted to get authorization. I make a motion that you give me authorization to sign this as mayor and send it to the League of Municipalities. It sounds like 400 mayors have already signed.
Second.
We have 566.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next up is the library estimate for increased insurance. Now, Abe he's in Italy right now, so I'm taking over for him on this. Apparently, we're underinsured at the library for the contents. The county owns some of the materials, but we have a lot that we own, and apparently there are 16,000 items in the Bunnvale Library in general, which some are ours and some are owned by the county, but we own about 8,000 of those, about 50%. It includes furniture, CDs, children's books, old antique-type books, and they're not covered by the county's policy. So the goal was to be, you know, to cover the total value of potential loss to the contents owned by Lebanon Township. And the contents are typically covered for actual cash value to equal replacement cost minus depreciation. So we were covered for $22,000 a year, or $22,000 for the longest time, and now it looks like we should be covered for up to $289,156, which would be a cost of $575 on an annual basis in insurance increases. So what they're saying here is there would be no charge midterm for the increase, and we can make the change request at any time during the policy period of 1/1/23 to 1/1/24. Any discussion?
Assuming the valuation of what needs to be covered is done correctly, I think it's pretty well spent.
Yeah, they've been working on it for a long time. So, you know, I can't speak for Abe, but I know he picked it up and he's been working on it. And this came from Groendyke, Faith at Groendyke. So she got everything she needed to come up with this. Any other discussion?
No.
Any motion to increase our insurance coverage to $289,156 at a cost of $575 on an annualized basis?
With no charge midterm for increase?
Right.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next up under new business is the CWA request regarding upcoming holidays. And this came from both the blue collar and the white collar end of the CWA. Last June 15th, the Township Committee announced that the municipal offices would be closed on Monday, June 20th, for the new federal holiday, Juneteenth. Are you going to close again this year for the federal holiday on Monday, June 19th? Also, since 4th of July falls on a Tuesday, we are asking to be closed on July 3rd, and the employees will use their own time for July 3rd. The museum is only open on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They will be closed on Tuesday, which is the 4th of July. The library is only open on Wednesday through Saturday. In the past, when a holiday falls on a Tuesday or Thursday, we have asked with using our own time to be closed on that Monday or Friday. In the past, this request has been honored. Thank you for your consideration. Signed, Gail Glassoff and Kevin Rivers. Discussion?
Do you recall when that's happened in the past? In my sort of 8-9 years, I don't remember that being done.
Yes,
do you remember when?
Not off the top of my head.
And I guess my question would be whether this letter from the two union reps obligates the union to... I mean, does that say that the union has agreed to this? Because my concern is that somebody says, no, you know, I get 10 vacation days a year. I don't want to use one of mine on that day.
I mean, if you read it literally, does it say that? No, it doesn't say it literally.
I can read literally. Right. I know that. I'm asking if...
I think you would want to confirm that.
If it obligates the union... If the union has taken collective action to make every person take a vacation day, that the township's not going to have any arguments with employees who say, I showed up for work, I wanted to be there on that Tuesday because I want my 10 days in October.
Well, right, and we want to make sure that that's the case, right,
that's
exactly.
That's my question.
That they confirm that if we do this, right, you're not going to come back and say, hey, you forced me to take a personal day or...
Mm-hmm.
What would it take to confirm that? Do we need to have a union, a vote from the union?
Well, I think there should be some indication that they poll the members and all the members of this particular union are agreeing with that. Something, I guess, more official so that we know that it won't be grieved by any members as well, right?
And then I assume for the handful of non-union members that are employees, we couldn't force someone to take a non-paid day.
For that one day that they're asking that they take their personal day. No, you wouldn't force them to do it.
So this would apply, if we did this, the collective bargaining unit of the CWA would have to show that they pulled the members and...
I think that would be a better course to ensure that you have that, so that nobody does grieve it.
Now, what
without that information... People can come and refuse to take a
potentially good.
Well, what did you do last year with Juneteenth? Resolution?
To me, there are two topics.
Yeah, there's two topics.
Juneteenth,
right.
We're going to recognize that as a holiday after we did by resolution.
Yeah, so we'd have to do another resolution for that.
I think we might have just done it by motion last year.
I thought we did.
Either way.
Isn't you guys have listed as your holiday?
I think Mike brings a good point to that on the collective bargaining to look into it.
Let's just finish with the...
Go ahead.
The Juneteenth. So it's not... It wasn't a federal holiday at the last time we negotiated the CWA contract.
Right.
Or the PBA contract.
Right.
So last year, the committee took action to recognize it as a holiday, close the building, give everybody an additional holiday.
Right.
Outside of... We did it just for the 1 year outside of the collective bargaining discussion.
Okay.
And I think given that neither contract has been
finalized
since
yet,
then,
it would make good, you know, may, right, memorialize it. It'd be a good practice for sure.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I don't know if you want to take up that topic first, whether we want to recognize Juneteenth federal holiday as a township holiday and close the buildings, everyone has a day off.
Mm-hmm.
The other implication is the police officers who work on that day would get time and a half.
Mm-hmm. Well, you recognized it last year.
Yes.
There must have been a reason why you did. So why would we not recognize it?
I did. The committee did.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Right.
And you
but
voted, so you
right.
Would know
exactly.
The reason you had. Everyone had a reason.
Right.
To vote as they did. I believe it was a unanimous vote last year.
Yeah. It just seems weird to not.
Well, I agree.
I'm
arguing not.
It's inconsistent.
In fact, I'll make a motion that we recognize Juneteenth Day, the federal holiday, as a town.
I think you can do it.
Holiday.
You can. And then you'll do a resolution, memorialize it.
Yeah, we'll do a resolution. Okay, so then to the other part of it.
Well, do you want to take a vote on that? Right. Now a motion on the table.
Yeah. I'll second.
Yeah. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So now we're dealing with 4th of July and all the gyrations of the 4th of July holiday.
I mean, what I recall happening in the past is that, we understand we probably have a skeleton crew on. People take among themselves, among their supervisor, they work out who takes the days off and who's in on that Monday, the 3rd. That's what we're talking about, Monday the 3rd, correct? July 3rd?
Right, because the 4th is Tuesday's the 4th of July, so it's closed then. When a holiday falls on a Tuesday or Thursday, we have asked for using our own time to be closed. So basically...
Well, we're sort of having a discussion about, you know, in public on this issue, kind of thing, but...
Maybe the...
Why couldn't they use their own time without you giving permission?
That's what I'm saying. So,
right.
But the difference is that the lights aren't turned off. We have a skeleton crew on.
Right. But there are some members, people who work there who are not in the union. Is that what I think I heard?
We have a handful. I don't know. Right. We do have some people who are not in the union who we would then have to grant them a vacation day, I presume.
The non-union members.
The non-union members.
Well, they're asking that they take their own time, right?
The union is.
Yes.
So the supervisory staff's not.
Correct.
But I don't...
So my point is if they wanted to, they could use their own time without you taking any action.
Yes.
Right? If they had
subject to approval, for example.
Whoever the contract is.
If they're members of the DPW department, chances are all 10 wouldn't be given the day off.
Yeah.
But if we granted this, then all 10 would be given the day off.
If it applies to across the board to those unions, you would be.
Yeah.
It affects, right, wherever that union is.
So is it better to ask the CWA to pull?
Well, I think it's an unusual request. I mean, they said it's been done in the past, but it's an unusual request. Because then you're confronted with an issue where you're allowing union members to take personal time off. Well, what about the non-union members?
And what about the other union?
Right, and the other unions that aren't affected by it. Hmm. So I'd be curious to see, you know, according to this letter, it was honored in the past, but...
And on top of that, the residents, do we think the residents would then have 4 days without having access to public services? Maybe that's an issue, maybe that's not. You know, if somebody wanted to come in on that Monday to get a zoning permit or...
Right. Or I mean, you're typically, as a township, right, when you have the situation, you're typically open, right?
People would expect that we're open on a non-federal.
Well, holiday. We do have enough time to post that if need be.
I understand that, but looking at this on its face, it has further implications, right? Because aside from the unions that are requesting, there are the other unions who aren't requesting, and then the non-union members.
Well, this almost comes into play with what we talked about the municipal lunches. Remember that time, taking out like a lunch hour, it's the same kind of a deal. Who's going to be aggrieved? So yeah. I think we need more time to look into this. And it's not like it's right around the corner. It is, but we've got two meetings between now and then.
Wednesday the 5th, I would like that day off.
No pumping for you.
No pay.
Take your own time.
No pay.
I mean, I think that... Again, I think we should have, the committee should have a view before we ask the union to poll the members and mm-hmm. come back.
I agree with that.
The members
right.
And we said, well, we're still considering it.
I'm trying to remember. Wasn't Christmas on, no, was that only, that may have been a weekend. It was on a weekend.
I mean, my view would be that there are a lot of implications, a lot of complications. I think we should be understanding that supervisors will grant a lot of requests for having that day off, and they're mm-hmm. using their own day anyway, so it's mm-hmm. not they're asking for.
But, right, space. But that's one thing.
But
right?
that the township will remain open that day on a skeleton crew rather
It's one thing if an individual follows what you typically do. You have your, you know, even though the contracts aren't final, they're still following the contracts, right?
Yeah.
And what happens versus the governing body saying, yes, we're going to allow for this particular union. All right, if I'm, and then the other employees in the other unions, well, okay. And eventually we'll make the same request. You're going to deny them.
Right.
Why don't you, you have most experience with CWA.
I think we can talk about it.
Hammer something out and with a recommendation.
Contract is.
Well, I think you could take a look at what was done in the past, but beyond that.
Well, you want to get it right. If it wasn't done right in the past?
Well, that's my point. I said that's why he's
beyond
that.
Yeah, so I think it's better if you.
I think the issue becomes why just this union, not the other unions, and what about the non-union employees?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've handled CWAP.
The committee right now has a view of whether we're open to shutting the building, shutting the township. For July 3rd, with our current understanding of the implications, mm-hmm. of course, subject to a union vote and certification of a vote, or if we think it's too complicated. Just sitting here right now, if we think it's too complicated, I believe it's too complicated, and we should, as I say, encourage and understand that we'll have a lot of people off that day, but not have it as an official closing of the township.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there's a consensus among the committee here tonight, we should deliver that message back before we put the union and others through.
And we're going to be having negotiations soon with CWA.
Right.
So. Yeah, but I think it goes beyond that, though. I mean, right, you can't force someone to take their personal time.
And that's why I would want a union vote if we're going to do it.
I'm thinking about the non-union employees, right, and the other union, right? Let's say non-union employees. Right, let's say if you were to close a building on July 3rd, now you're forcing them to take personal time. Well, I won't take my personal time.
The motion would have to be to give non-union members an additional personal day.
Well, exactly. That's what you're doing. And now you know, that could have implications.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the lights stay on.
Yeah, I think this is too complicated.
Unfortunately, it may be closed anyway. I mean, you can keep the lights on. But
yeah, no, that's right. I don't expect it to be a fully staffed day by any means, but I think it's too complicated to officially.
I think it has too many tentacles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's implications.
Right.
Unintended or not.
Yeah.
But even if the members were to come back and say, hey, we agree, but I think there's. It does. Now, again, there seemed to have been a precedent, but I'm not sure about that because I wasn't here, obviously, but I don't know how you do that and not affect everybody else here, which you would be.
Mm-hmm. You would,
I mean, again, people have the right to take the time if they have the time to take. They can make the request. And then it would seem to me that you would follow that protocol. And then whoever can get the time off gets the time off.
That's what I think is
correct. Denied.
Yeah,
but with, you know, it's a good point. We're getting ready to do negotiations, so we can factor if this is something that people want as a consensus, then we can factor it in for next year.
I'm not really going with it.
Okay, so we did get the approval and everything on the vote and the second and on the Juneteenth. We're good with that. So we have to get a resolution done on that.
Yeah, for next meeting.
Yes.
Well, you would need it because you have.
Yeah, because that's right. Because that's been, follows. The next meeting won't be till like the 18th, 19th, whatever. Okay, so that's important.
The minutes show that for the second request, there was no motion forthcoming to grant that request.
Yeah, I do that.
Right, the Juneteenth holiday would be before the second meeting.
Yes, so we need to get it done by the 7th. Hmm? So I put a star, two stars next to it. There's a couple things do that meeting.
No problem.
the list is growing. Okay, so next up is presentation of the vouchers.
I've got one for Norman J. Goldberg Appraisal Services for 43 Anthony Road in the amount of $1,400, and this will be 50% reimbursed by New Jersey Water Supply Authority.
I have one here for CDW Government, which is for the museum computer and hardware for $1,677.91. I have New Jersey Health Benefit Plan, active and retired benefits for May of 2023, totaling $55,494.69. Statewide insurance for the NAR Group versus Lebanon Township, $5,000. That's it.
Cooper Oil Company for a new installed Bach oil-fired water heater for firehouse number 3 for $4,000 even. Griffith Allied Trucking, gasoline, $2,042.54. Griffith Allied Trucking, LLC, for diesel fuel, $2,641.99. Patriotic Office Cleaning Company, $1,480 even. Warren Asphalt for $1,541.17. And W.E. Trimmerman for three sweeper hoppers. And that's an amount of $16,624.36. And that's it.
Okay. Abe has none that apply, and I have none that apply. They're all under $1,000 each. So the total bill list for the period ending May 17th, 2023 is $103,728.06. Can I get a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. So moving on is the down to correspondence. What?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. Stormwater assistance grant approval. I just wanted to let you know that our township engineer, Rob Martucci, secured a grant for us for $75,000. We have to be compliant with our stormwater rules and regulations with the state. So this grant is going to come in two parts. It's $25,000 he will get to develop a stormwater pollution prevention program by December 31st, and then upon receipt of the plan, the next $50,000 will come, which will be upgrading the municipality stormwater program to comply with the state requirements and of the 2023 Tier A permit. So I just wanted to thank Rob for getting us that grant. It's always a good thing. Next, I don't know if you want to talk about the curator's report at all.
I have nothing to add.
Yeah. Okay. And then with that, can I get a motion to open a public comment for anything you want to talk about?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment for almost anything you want to talk about.
Almost anything.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Shannon Lang, 131 River Road. So just a few questions. Regarding the holidays that we're talking about, are there a set number of holidays that employees get, like 10 holidays per year or something like that? Mm-hmm. The only reason I'm asking is because this year I noticed at my workplace, because of how Christmas falls, Christmas is a Monday, so we only have that Monday off, but for 4th of July, we have Monday, Tuesday off, the 3rd and the 4th. Mm-hmm. So just asking if there's any consideration looking at the holidays holistically when we're talking about this.
Well, it's all part of the contracts that we have with the CWA and the PBA, and they get hammered out during contract negotiations.
Okay.
So it's a little different than the corporate world.
And then also with...
You want to add something?
I mean, the number, including Juneteenth, it's 15 holidays mm-hmm. that we recognize under both collective bargaining agreements, proposed and actual... we don't deal with the Tuesday, with a Tuesday, 4th of July, but it's spelled out in the contract. If Christmas Eve, for example, is a holiday, and if that falls on a Sunday, then it goes one way or it goes the other way, so that's spelled out. We do handle Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve falling on a weekend.
Okay.
Or in some
that's
cases,
not granted,
in yeah. some cases, it's you don't get the holiday.
Right.
If Christmas Eve falls on the weekend, then it doesn't.
Okay.
But it's all spelled out.
Okay. And then the other question, just you mentioned Juneteenth. Is that specifically spelled out that holiday? Because it sounds like there's some. Is Juneteenth being recognized? Is it not?
last year when it became a federal holiday, we recognized it as a federal holiday.
So everyone got it across the board, so we're continuing that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't sure from the discussion. Okay. And then the other question is, does the township have interns? I'm only asking because we're talking about the liaison, but if the concern really is whether they have authority to do anything, does it make more sense to form internships? And that possibly opens it up to more students being eligible at the ESC? Just asking, because other townships do have internships. I Googled it, too, and there's some posted right now for other municipalities in New Jersey.
So, like, kids that are out of school, they would have an internship
usually it's students, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, when they come out of school in the summer.
Yeah, or even in
school. Or during school year.
Yeah. During school.
Like,
they do an old bridge. But usually, I'm sorry, I don't cut you off.
Yeah, no.
Usually it's larger municipalities because there becomes a, you know, making sure that there's somebody they report to, someone oversees it, because usually what happens when there's internships during the school year, they'll get credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so
like
then there's
corporation.
A supervisor.
Yeah.
You sign off on that. It's just a matter of tracking, ensuring the person's there and someone to report to.
How does that affect, how would the union, I don't know if you have it in Old Bridge, if there are unions or not.
Oh, there are unions.
There are? Yeah. Because not every town has them.
There's nine.
I mean, well, you've got the PBA.
There's nine of them.
In
Old Bridge. So
how does that impact?
They're usually in administration. Right? They work in administrative office.
So they're outside of the contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just student internships.
Yeah. Oh, we could take it under advisement.
It's just an idea.
Yeah.
You know, or just like that, you know, co-op relationship,
mm-hmm.
without having to make it too formal. Mm-hmm. And also, it sounds like a bunch of kids were involved, so it sounds like one student we're trying to pinpoint, but maybe others would feel left out if they've been contributing as well. So could we make it something broader, potentially? I don't know. And it doesn't have to be a huge, you know, commitment necessarily, but just something to consider, because internships look great on resumes, and I'm sure something like environmental is tough to get if you don't have that expertise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Thank you.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo. I just have a question on that. You're going to cut down trees of just down our township roads. All the roads you mentioned are county. Now, this money
that's not true.
This money that you have available, is that there for when we have storms and we take trees? They have warned.
It's designated for trees this year.
So it's a special that you're putting.
We're going to try to, hopefully, my hope is to keep this going for a few years.
So that's a new.
Yes.
So it's not.
I didn't mention any county roads. I said Hill Road. Not the county part of Hill Road, obviously, right? Redville.
Okay. I just didn't want, so that when Warren comes to us, we always seem to take Warren's money whenever we want something else.
No, there's 40, I think it's $40,000 budgeted.
Okay. I just know that when he takes, when we have storms and stuff, the trees are taken. I didn't want money taken from that. Okay.
These are trees that are large or near wires, stuff that you need a real professional.
But is that, are we going to go to Jersey Central Power and Light, the lady that came and gave that presentation?
Possibly, yeah. It's all mixed. Yeah.
Yeah, they asked to be notified. So.
And you have a person, so you can go right to her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Any other public comment?
Sharon Petzinger, Dogwood Drive, Environmental Commission. So thank you for considering the appointment for the alternate. Just for the record, this person came to us requesting to be an alternate. So it wasn't somebody we sought after or anything like that. She actually came up to us after a meeting and said, I'd like to be an alternate. And it's like, okay, you're underage, let's look into it. And that's how that happened. And I just wanted to... A question for you, Mr. Roselli. I thought that the Environmental Open Space Commission did not have authority to make policy. We're advisory.
Say that?
I was under the impression that the Environmental Commission did not have the authority to make policy. We're advisory only.
No, actually, there's certain when you look.
What power do I have? That's what I want to know.
It's in the statute and the ordinance. I mean, you know, some of your decision making, right? You have review plans. We
provide comments.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. So, but I think when you look at some of the things that the authority of the Environmental Commission has, it helps formulate policy. Maybe that's a better way of saying it.
Yeah. Well, you don't have a third.
Right.
You don't create a resolution.
Well, ultimately, it's a governing body, right? Who formulate, but you help formulate policy, right? In that decision making process.
We do.
Right.
We just don't make the decisions.
You do not.
Okay. With the tree cutting, just under advisement, there's a new bat species that's now federally endangered. And so that might kind of throw a wrench into cutting trees between April 1st through November 16th or September, something like that. So you might want to look into that. If it's a danger tree, I think it can be waived, but U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is handling it. It's called a northern long-eared bat, and it was just listed on, I think, March 30th or 31st.
So your point is they're living in the tree, not outside the tree?
The point is, U.S. Fish and Wildlife wants to review trees being cut down because bats might be living in it, yeah.
Might be. How are they going to get up there and look, I wonder?
Oh, there are surveys that can be done to see if bats are roosting in trees. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has a whole... They're creating this whole thing about kind of how to assess what can be done and timing restrictions and things like that. I think danger trees are waived, but just... look into that before you start
cutting trees. That's where we're at.
Yeah. Just a heads up, though. Yeah. This is something new. One other thing. So I understand the underage appointment, and I'm just wondering if it is the age or if it is being a student, high school student, because there are high school students who are 18. So if it is an age thing, we can have a high school student be appointed who is 18. But if it's both, then that's probably when we'd want to look more into the student liaison thing, which, you know, the EOC hasn't discussed it yet, and I think that's something we would be open to, given our, you know, new relationship with the academy. And for those who don't know about the academy, it is a very competitive program. They only allow 25 students in every year throughout the county. And so it's based on grades, it's based on a test, it's based on recommendations from teachers, and it's pretty, really competitive. So these are like top quality students that we're working with. It's really amazing. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we're going to be going into executive session. Can I get a motion to approve resolution number 63-2023 to go into executive session for contract negotiations, personnel matters, public safety, and potential litigation? No.
You have to announce that.
Yeah.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah. No action is anticipated.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.